This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So, a couple of weeks ago, we prayed for a family in our church that was going through a difficult time, and we celebrated the healing of a little Nielke who was born prematurely, and it was amazing to see what the Lord has done in her life. And next week, or the 14th, we're going to dedicate Nielke into the Lord's hands. She was born, I think, when she was 27 weeks old, and it was amazing to see how the Lord had touched her and how the Lord healed her. And then we had another family who went through something similar, and we've been journeying with them because their story ended up a little bit differently. And their little girl, Talita, she went home to be with the Lord, and the Lord Jesus received her to himself. And we went through the whole process of praying with them, working with them through the emotions. And I went with them to hospital as well, traveling with them to Bloberg Strand, and just to be there with them as we said goodbye to little Talita. It was shared on Tuesday at the memorial service. I've met many people in ministry in all my years of ministry, having grown up in a ministry house as well. And so many people have impacted my life profoundly. Amazing preachers, amazing worship leaders, intercessors, friends, who've really made a massive difference in my life. But I've never met somebody who has impacted my life in such a short space of time as Talita did. I had the privilege of just meeting her, knowing her for about 20 minutes. And she changed my life. Such a beautiful little baby girl who, just together with her parents and their surrender to the Lord, challenged me, inspired me, shook me up a little bit as well. And I've been on this journey ever since then, just wrestling in my heart through a couple of things. And I want to share that with you because I believe that Talita's life, the seed of her life — we had the memorial service in here on Tuesday — that the seed of her life is going to bring forth a mighty harvest. And on Tuesday, even so many people's lives were touched. And I felt so strongly in my spirit that the Lord is saying that her life truly hasn't finished, because death has been defeated. Amen? Death has been defeated, and death doesn't have the final say. A life surrendered to God doesn't end simply because we pass on from the year to eternity. It doesn't end. It continues. And God's purpose for her life cannot be stopped by death, because God has defeated death. And I want us to just listen this morning to what I believe the Lord is wanting to say to us through her life. And the first thing is this: only God knows everything. Only God knows everything. And a couple of weeks ago — you can move on from that slide, you can't see the heading there — but Eugene brought a very short yet very powerful motivation for the offering. And he said, sometimes there are a lot of things in our lives that are unclear. But just because things are unclear, we don't have to be uncertain. Just because things are unclear doesn't mean they have to be uncertain. And just because we don't know everything doesn't mean that we have to be uncertain about our future. Doesn't mean we have to be uncertain about God's plans for our lives. And I believe one of the foundations for living a life that becomes uncomfortable with the unclarity of life — because I don't know how many of you live with absolute clarity on everything. I don't know how many of you understand 100% everything that's happening in your life and why it's happening. I suspect that all of us, somewhere in our lives, we have something that is unclear. Something that we are walking through in faith. Something that even between the promises of God and the manifestation in our own lives, there's a little bit of a disconnect. And for as long as we are going to be here on this earth as human beings who one day are going to be perfected, who one day are going to experience the fullness of God's kingdom, we are on this journey of having to understand that only God knows everything. Only God sees the full picture. Only God knows the end from the beginning. And therefore, sometimes even the things which God allows in our lives will not make sense to us, because we do not have the full picture. It is easier to live as if we do have the full picture. It is easier to live as if everything is always clear, as if we always know the will of God 100%. But I've discovered in my life that it is always a journey. And unless we become comfortable with the mystery of sometimes not knowing the fullness of God's plan, we are going to be very frustrated and maybe even end up in a place where we are going to get offended with God, because what's happening in our lives now do not fit into this perfect idea which we have. And so I believe it's not just my thoughts, and let me share this with you. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 12 from the Message translation says the following: we don't yet see things clearly. There will come a day, one day, when we will, but we don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist, but it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. It won't be long, he says, before the weather clears and the sun shines bright, and we'll see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly, just as he knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to lead us towards consummation. Three things to lead us through the times of unclarity, through the times of uncertainty. Trust steadily in God. In other words, faith. Hope unswervingly. Love extravagantly. And the best of the three is love. So what enables us to navigate through? Maybe you guys can play around with the lights a little bit so we can see if we can see that. See that a little bit better. There is, in our lives, three things God has given us: faith, hope, and love, to enable us to push through the uncertainty of life, to push through the moments when we don't have all the answers. And I want to encourage us to bring that part of your life, that part maybe that right now is unclear, that part maybe right now where you have to wrestle between the promise of God, God gave you 5 months ago, or maybe 15 years ago, and it's still not coming to pass, or that thing in your life that doesn't fully want to submit to the kingdom of God, to continue to stand in faith for those things, to continue to trust God, because the next time we have an opportunity to pray for someone, we will pray for that person again, and we will put out our faith 110% that God will do a healing, because he has healed tons of people. And so just because there's one thing that's unclear to us, or one thing we're uncertain about, we're not going to reduce our faith based on our last experience. Amen? We're not going to reduce it. We're not going to back down. We're not going to say, because I don't understand everything, I'm going to become reluctant, and I'm going to waver around God's purposes and God's plans. And that truly is the walk of faith. That truly is the walk of faith, where we say, God, I still trust you. And being in that hospital room and us being able to present little Talita to the Lord and experiencing God flooding that room, experiencing his presence in such a powerful way, suddenly took this whole thing about eternity from theory to reality for me. In that moment, I realized that the peace that this family is experiencing cannot just be some wavering little hope they're holding on to. What we are experiencing in that moment as we're looking at that beautifully created, precious gift of God, and we're experiencing Father God's hands coming to receive her, there must be a greater reality than just our imaginations or just our minds. That God is real. His comfort is real. Eternity is real. And saints, we have to root ourselves in God's presence. We've got to root ourselves in God's presence, because each one of us will be shaken. Each one of us will go through an experience where we challenged in God, are you truly good? Are you truly real? And this verse says, it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines brightly. The early believers lived with this cry in their hearts, Hosanna. Come, Lord Jesus, come. They lived with this yearning for Christ. They lived with this yearning where the temporal will be replaced with the eternal, because then we will know him fully. And we're on this journey, and Hunty said it this morning. She said, it doesn't matter how much we know of God, we have never received everything of him yet. We don't experience everything. There's always a new touch. There's always a new experience in God. There's always a new breath. There's always a new hope. There's always a new joy. And God wants to invite us always deeper into him. And so the challenge for me, as we were journeying with Corneille and with Jean was their prayer. As we were spending time in the Lord's presence, it was this. We simply want to know Jesus more. We want to know Jesus more. We want nothing to stand between us and Him. And that is our greatest reality. That one day we will know Him fully and completely the way He knows us. But every day, every event, every moment leads us into knowing Him more. Every moment is an invitation for us to get to know Him more, even in the things that are unclear, even in things that don't make sense to us. In every experience, there is an invitation for us for the fog to disappear a little bit. If we keep our hearts soft, because God wants to speak to us. And I've in my heart, I've begun to experience how God is as beginning to just bring things front and center for me. Saying, I want you to understand there are certain things that are certain. And I want to share those things with you. He is our safest place. That is certain for me. Beyond the doctors, beyond the budget, beyond the economy, beyond even what a group like this can provide, God is our safest place. He knows everything, and so I can trust Him with my life. I can trust Him with my pain. I can trust Him with my confusion. I can trust Him with my uncertainties. I can trust Him with my miracles still in motion. I can trust Him because He knows everything. He alone is God. I'm not. I can relax in that. I don't have to fix everything. And so when things don't work out, I don't have to allow that to condemn me either because He is God and I'm not. So it delivers me from a God complex. It delivers me from what taking things upon myself I should not be taking upon myself. He knows everything and He is our safest place. That was the beautiful verse the Lord gave us. Psalm 61 verse 3 to 4 as we were journeying with the Potgieter family. For Talita, for you have been a shelter and a refuge for me, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. You have been a shelter and a refuge for me. As we surrendered her into God's hands, I knew what was happening in the moment. We were surrendering her into the shelter and the refuge that is the biggest, best, most secure shelter ever. And we were tested in our faith. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that God's presence is the safest place for her? I mean, it's tough. It is tough with your human emotions. It is tough with your human longings. But in that moment, that was the crux. The crux was this. Do we believe that God is the safest place for us? And to lead us in that safest place. And you know what? So Father God desires to shelter each and every one of us. It's beyond a shadow of a doubt. She's in a place where nothing can hurt and nothing can harm her. But Father God longs for each one of us to experience Him as our shelter. And so I'm just wrestling through this question. Is God my shelter and is He my refuge? Or do I have other shelters and other places that I run to first? You have been a shelter and a refuge for me, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. And the picture the Lord showed us was of His wings just extended over the Potgieter family in that hospital. And His wings extended over us as a church. Church, are we finding shelter underneath His wings? Or are we finding shelter in our knowledge? Are we finding shelter in the things that we've experienced? Are we finding shelter in our qualifications or in anything? Any other shelter outside of the shelter of God is fake. Will set you up for disappointment, will betray you, will trick you. Ministry for a pastor is sometimes one of the fakest shelters there is. I can find my shelter in how well it's going with the ministry. And it's a fake because it cannot provide cover for my heart as the presence of God can. My performance can't. My achievements can't. My beautiful wife can't. My children can't. I cannot find shelter in my wife. I cannot find shelter in my kids and in their performances. It has to be Jesus. Otherwise, it is fake. And I am unsafe in any shelter except Him. And so Talita challenged me. Is my daddy your shelter? So his knowledge, he knows everything. His safety is our safest place. Whatever happens in your life, you don't have to doubt that. And if your heart does doubt that, bring your heart to the Lord this morning. Say, Daddy, there's something in my heart. There's a hurt here. There's a wound here. And I don't know whether you can cover this. I don't know whether this is safe with you. Then bring that to him, as we had to kneel and give that little baby into God's hands. Some of us have got babies, dreams, hurts, things that we have got to surrender into the hands of God. Father, I'm choosing to find shelter with you. That voice that keeps on haunting you, you'll not be good enough, you won't make it. You've got to bring that part of your heart and you've got to give it to God. The third thing that I know for sure is that his desire for intimacy with us outstrips our own desire for intimacy with him, and it is greater even than our sin. His desire for intimacy, it outstrips our own desire for intimacy with him, and it outstrips our own sin. It doesn't matter how unclear things are, that does not have to be unclear. You never have to doubt God's desire to be intimate with you. There's this beautiful portion in Matthew 23, 37, where Jesus is kneeling outside Jerusalem and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem." And we were, and Grenade shared with us on Tuesday, this is what Talita's name meant to them. But you know, Jesus, when he longs for us for intimacy, he comes and that little baby girl and her parents, they're not just a random little baby girl and random parents. They, Cornelius and John and Talita, they are precious to him. He calls them by name and he says, "In your hurt, in your pain right now, I want to flood you with my presence." You're not just some random person going to church, some random person on the face of the planet. You are personally known. Says, "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Heinrich, oh, Heinrich. Okay, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her." Now, none of us are doing that. Hopefully, that's not on your CV. All right. In Scripture, we see that the Lord would turn murderers into leaders, and he takes our sin, he turns it around. And the key here is that these guys were rejecting the voice of God. They were rejecting his voice, his invitations to intimacy, his invitations to trust, his invitations to lay their lives down and to walk with him. They were rejecting him time after time after time again. But he's saying to them, "How often I wanted to gather your children together. So you're sinning and you're rebelling and you're rejecting me, but my desire is still to comfort you. My desire is still to protect you. How often I've desire to gather your children to me as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, for I say to you, you shall see me no more until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Nothing can protect our houses except the presence of God. Doesn't matter how high your walls is, doesn't matter how fancy your security system is, doesn't matter in which neighborhood you live, whether you live in South Africa or in New Zealand or in Australia or in Utrecht, there's no place safe enough for you except the presence of God. And the whole world is being shaken because funnily enough, the world has swallowed the lie actually that our efforts are enough to protect ourselves. And God is allowing a shaking to take place everywhere. Don't know whether you've been reading the news. Everywhere, everything is being shaken, from top corporates to politicians to church leaders. Every place is being shaken because God said everything that can be shaken will be shaken until we are left with God's desire for intimacy with us and our response to that desire. Because all of history hinges around God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His desire for intimacy with Heinrich outstrips my own desire for intimacy with him. And that is a comfort to me. That is certain. That it doesn't matter how many times the prophets were killed. God was always saying, "I'm reaching out to you. I'm reaching out to you. I'm reaching out to you. I want to be intimate with you. I want to be intimate with you." And how do we open up intimacy towards God? By saying, "Blessed is he who comes." By worshiping him, even in our pain. Never experienced the presence of God like I did on Tuesday in worship. And something happens when we, in moments of unclarity, worship him. And we open up the door for Jesus to gather us to himself and to comfort us. I'm going to hold before us that I believe with all of my heart that a bridge between our unclarity into certainty is our worship. True worship rooted in faith, not rooted in, this is what God has done for me, and all of that makes sense to me. Yes, that is powerful, and we praise him very often out of that place because it builds our faith. But there's a place of worship where you worship him in spite of, because who he is. And I believe that's a sweet fragrance that allows God's intimacy to flood our hearts. Some of you are wrestling with things that are unclear to you. Invite his presence into your life through worship. Worship him. Worship him. Focus on Jesus. Say, Jesus, I will choose to worship you in the midst of what I'm going through. Fourth place, something I know we don't have to be uncertain about is that he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he can take better care of us than anyone else can. He knows us better than what we know ourselves. And he can take better care of us than anyone else can. He knows you right now as you're sitting there, better than what your wife does, better than your closest friend does. He knows you better than what you know yourself. It's a beautiful song, Defender. And one of the lines there is that you knew where I left me, even when I didn't know that I had lost me. Sometimes we can get lost and we don't even know it. And Jesus knows. He knows why you made the decisions you did. He knows why you're being pulled towards certain things. He knows everything about you, and he's crazy about you. For us as human beings, very often our challenge is we move from the honeymoon phase to the disillusionment phase as we get to know one another more. And so fake book is all about putting your best foot forward. But real relationships don't work that way. And God wants to usher us into a dimension where he lives, that he knows everything about us, and yet he loves us. He loves us. Human beings sometimes works the other way around. I love you as long as I see the best about you, and as long as you please me, and as long as you comfort me. But when I see things there that I don't like, I'm like, ugh. And that's why Christian marriage needs the love and the grace of God to flow through us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And just allow the psalm to wash over you. Because as I watch the perfectly created little baby, beautiful little body, the Lord just brought the psalm to my heart. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you've known me. You have searched me and known me. He has searched you and he knows you. You know my sitting down and you know my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all of my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness, some of you feel yourselves trapped in darkness. The Lord says, indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you have formed my inward parts, and you covered me in my mother's womb. And I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me. When as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And the truth of these words challenged me as I was in that hospital room, say, Heinrich, do you believe that my thoughts towards this little girl is precious? And it began to dawn on me that there are more thoughts than I can comprehend for her. And that God's thoughts aren't limited to to the couple of days that she spent with us, that there are thoughts to come and thoughts to come and thoughts to come and plans and purposes to come that are as real, wrapped up in eternity, as I want to say even more real than you and me sitting here. But it is only real if we believe that eternity is real. How precious are your thoughts? The thoughts that God has for you is beyond what you can imagine. The thoughts that God has for you is beyond what anybody's ever spoken over you. Doesn't matter how amazing those prophecies have been. The thoughts that God has for you, how precious are they? How great is the sum of them? And some of us, we've reduced our thoughts to our experiences. Some of us have reduced our thoughts to our workplace or our calling to what we have seen in our own lives, experiencing. And I want to challenge you to bring your thoughts to God again and to say, God, your thoughts are precious towards me. Help me to take the lid off to see again your precious thoughts. Help me to see again your plans for my life. And even if I don't see them clearly, just to trust you. And I found that sometimes we get lost in the detail. All right, God, show me what the details are, Lord. Show me what next week holds. Show me where I must live. And those questions are important. But sometimes we can get lost in the details and forget God's heart behind them. So they are precious. They are precious. It's a good God thinking good thoughts towards you, having amazing plans for you. I was in church on a Sunday. It's a good place to be, church. Just take a moment, just look out the window. Isn't that an amazing view? It's like incredible. It's amazing. And the one that created those mountains and the sea is the one that has precious thoughts towards you. And sometimes we can come to church and you base the thoughts that God has for you based upon the preacher's thoughts. But it's not my thoughts towards you that is leading and directing your life. It's God's thoughts. Or at least it should be God's thoughts. Please don't limit the thoughts that you have about yourself based on a sermon. A sermon can nudge you in a certain direction, but you have to base it upon the Word of God. You have to take the lid off, saints. And part of us moving into this venue is to say, we want to take the lid off because we have allowed some limitations and things to box us in. And we're saying, we're taking it off. We're taking it off, saying last year won't be my next year. I'm taking the limits off and I'm saying, God, how precious are your thoughts? How precious are your thoughts? How precious are your thoughts? You can be certain, even if you don't know the details, that God's thoughts towards you are precious. Amazing. Being in church a couple of weeks ago, I met someone. They came to church and like I normally do, I go towards them and, hey, good morning, how are you doing? And they left me hanging. I couldn't believe it. Maybe they didn't see the hand. How are you doing? No, they left me hanging again. And I'm like, oh, righty. Okay. But my thoughts about you will not be determined whether you shake my hands or not. It's based upon God's thoughts for your life. And you have to make a decision. It's an extreme example. Hopefully that doesn't happen to you in church. All right. I'm the pastor. I can take it. Your thoughts, all right, and it's a visitor, they haven't been back yet, all right? So don't look around. Who dipped his hand in the jar? Was it him, Lord? Who was it? Who didn't shake Anik's hand? All right, that person isn't here. Lord bless them. But in that moment, I had to make a decision. Will my thoughts towards this person be based upon their attitude and their reaction towards me? Or will it be based upon what I know God thinks towards them? How much He loves them. And will I align my actions and my heart with what God is thinking towards them or based on their reaction? And so constantly, always, we have this decision to make. Will I submit to God's thoughts or to an experience? And some of us, we need to bring our experiences before the Lord and say, God, I'm sorry. I ministered in the Hermanas on Sunday and somebody came to me and says, we were put out of our house when we were 5 years old. Moved from District 6 into another place on New Year's Day. I've been saved for 45 years, this person. And I'm working with some other guys, and this young plumber came to me, and he said, no, you shouldn't do it like this. And something rose up inside of me, and I wanted to hit him with a hammer. He said, and I'm saved, but I'm angry. And only lately, these things have been stirring in my heart. And he has to bring his thoughts to God. That little five-year-old boy saw his folks being put out of the house. He has to bring his thoughts to God and say, God, your thoughts towards us are good thoughts. And that little seed of doubt placed in my heart by my experience, I've got to bring that to God's word. And I can say, God, your thoughts are precious. And I've got to allow you to cleanse my heart. I don't know what your experience is, but I want to challenge you, don't leave this room without bringing it to God and saying, God, I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't even know why it's happened, but I want to bring it to you and I want to ask you, Lord, just come. Give me a revelation of how precious your thoughts are towards me. And second, lastly, one thing we can be sure about is that we live and we labor for the final trumpet. If eternity really is real, saints, and I realize that I don't always live as if it's real. And I was challenged these last 2 weeks. I did two funerals. I'm doing another one on Thursday, somebody else. I'm challenged with, do I truly live for eternity? Or do I live for these 70, 80 years? I don't know how long the Lord has for me. Is this all, and it's all my planning and all my motives and everything based upon what's happening here on this earth? Whereas it's only a drop in the bucket. It's a blink of an eye in comparison to eternity. But decisions that I make here and now will determine how I spend eternity. How I choose to forgive people. How I steward what God has given me now. The decisions that I make to accept Jesus or not will determine where I spend eternity and will determine how I spend eternity. You know what? I live to hear my Father say, well done, good and faithful servant. So I don't allow unforgiveness in my heart to stay there. If I see it, I want it out of there. Why? Because I'm living for a reward. I want to hear my Father say, well done, good and faithful servant. So I don't want things in my heart that I'm nurturing there because, yeah, I can keep it there. And nobody else knows about it and everybody thinks I'm okay and I'm preaching, but I've got stuff inside of my heart. So I'm not living for you. I'm not living for your approval. You don't define me. My Father does. And standing in front of Him one day and hearing Him say, well done, good and faithful servant, is what I live for. And I was challenged again by Talita's life because there were certain things that went a little bit skew away from that perspective. And the Lord challenged me, I'm going to bring that back to my approval, to the final trumpet. Can I stand before God one day at the final trumpet and know that I've been faithful? Irrespective of what people thought. And here are the verses. I just want to read it just for you. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It will all pass away, hey? We all fade. All the money we spend on gymming and supplements and all of those things and cars and houses, they're good, they need it, they're valuable, and they're precious, but they will all fade away. Everything, this beautiful school building, everything we see around us, all be consumed one day when God comes to make something new. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. There will come a time, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, right? There will be a shofar that will be blowing for the last time. At the last trumpet. And this is, for the trumpet will sound. There are many things that you can be unclear about. You don't have to be unclear about this. The trumpet will sound. As the leader went to be with the Lord, so all of us here, all of us, all of us, all of us, in en elk een van ons, ieder en elk, each one of us, will pass on from this life to the next. All of us. When was the last time you thought about that and arranged your life based on the last trumpet? For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we shall be changed and we will see people that have gone before us and there will be jubilation and celebration. And here's this thing, this perishable body must put on the imperishable and this mortal body must put on immortality and the things that are binding us now will fall away. All of those things will pass away. And the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality. Then shall come to pass a saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be a triumphant sound. That sound going, that will blow. And everything that is holding us back will fade away. Death has been defeated, saints. Let's live like it. Let's rearrange our lives. Let's reorder our lives where we need to. And take courage as well. Some of you are sickling with stuff in your life. Maybe a sore knee. Maybe a spiritual gift that's not operating the way that it should. Maybe a shame, a condemnation or something. And the Lord wants to deliver you from those things. And He wants to set you free from those things. He wants you to walk in freedom. Amen? But take heart that there will come a day when none of those things will have any bearing on you. None. All will pass away. And we will be changed. I'm living for that day, guys. I'm living for that day. And I'm asking the Lord to feed me with the hope of eternity. Feed me, Lord, with the hope of eternity, because it was the hope of eternity that allowed the saints to face the lions, to face the crosses, to face the AK-47s. Why? Because there's something living inside of them that was more than just a temporal. It was the hope of eternity, of being with Jesus, putting on immortal flesh, immortal body. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast. I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. We live and we labor, not just for us, but to leave an eternal legacy. Let's be certain about this, that in Him our labor is not in vain. I want to honor, I want to thank the people who prayed for this church before this church was here. Many of you in this room, just in the house, and you prayed together, you trusted God. What happened this week as community came together and stood together and came around the Potgieter family and some other families that were suffering as well. It is possible because of your labor in the Spirit. Because you prayed and you saw something even before it was here already. We, as we're praying on Monday evenings, we, as we're worshiping God here, as you're working at work, as you're laboring with the Lord, know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. It can go beyond your lifetime. Let me finish with this last one. Go to the third last slide. We are stronger together. One thing we can be sure about. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9 to 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him. Not woe to him, sorry, it's my mistake. Woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And the threefold cord is not quickly broken. And we use this verse, rightly so, for marriage. But it's actually not written to married partners. It's written to people. And it speaks about the power of friendship, of course, of which marriage is like a beautiful manifestation. I want to encourage you that in your moments of uncertainty and unclarity, don't doubt this. We are stronger together. We are stronger together. I've not seen, experienced the body of Christ manifesting the heart of God the way that I have these last 2 weeks. It has been amazing. And I want to ask you, if you are in a moment of unclarity, uncertainty, pain, confusion, suffering, whatever it is, please do not go through it alone. Allow the body of Christ to come alongside you. Allow the body of Christ to hurt with you, to weep with you, to break with you, and to comfort you. Don't go through it alone. You have not been designed to go through it alone. We have been designed together with God to be the threefold cord. And I want to say to you that this church has not been broken because God is in our midst and our hearts are for one another. The line has been drawn in the sand. The enemy has done his best to scatter, but he has been defeated. Amen? He has been defeated because God has given us the victory. Death has been defeated, and if death has been defeated, every other foe is defeated as well. So I want to pray for you guys and trust the Lord will give you a revelation of the certainty in Him, in His knowledge, in His safety, in His shelter that He has for you. And in the fact that God invites you into a place of intimacy with Him. So let's stand. And let me pray for us. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this gathering. I thank you, God, for this moment in time, Lord, where we can push the pause button. We can step, Lord, out of our own lives and our own experiences a little bit. And Father, and cast our eyes towards the things that are certain, the things that are sure. And even though we see unclearly, Lord, we know that you see clearly, fully, and completely. And I pray, Father, that you will bring every wandering heart in this room. Everyone, Lord, that is sitting with a moment of unclarity, a moment, Lord, with things that are confusing. And it has caused them to doubt your heart. It has caused them to doubt whether you are good towards them. It has caused them to doubt the preciousness of your thoughts. I pray, Lord, right now for transition, God, just into clarity. A transition, Lord God, into certainty. Lord, not into knowing everything. I just sense that there are some of us that we need to let go of our need to know everything. We need to let go of our need to have everything figured out, because if we have it figured out, then we will have peace. And your peace doesn't lie in the tree of knowledge. Your peace lies in the tree of life, in accepting the life and the life of abundance that God has for you. Father, thank you. Thank you. Just as our eyes are closed, if you are in this room this morning and you do not know whether you will be ready when the last trumpet sounds, you don't know that when Jesus comes back for you, or if you were to walk out this building and something were to happen to you and you were to meet your Maker, you don't know whether you're ready for that moment. Then we want to pray with you. And we want to introduce you to Jesus, so that you can meet that moment with confidence, but not just one day, this moment, have confidence to live with the lover of your soul. Is there anybody in this room and you haven't met Jesus yet? You haven't surrendered your life to Him as Lord of your life? Or maybe you have at a camp a long time ago or prayed a prayer somewhere, but your life has drifted from Him. This morning, you just want to come back to Him again. You want to say, Lord, I surrender my everything to you. We want to pray with you. We want to see if that is you. Just raise your hand. There you stand. You want to come back to a place of surety. You are ready to meet your King. And the trumpet sounds. You're ready to meet Him. You're ready to meet Him. Anybody like that? Then I want to ask us as believers, if the Lord has spoken to you, and you know there's a transaction that you need to go through with the Lord this morning. It's a moment of maybe uncertainty, suffering, unclarity. There's something in your life. You need to just come and trade that in for certainty in the presence of God and His love and His thoughts towards you. You would just raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front right now. So I want you to raise your hand there because I want to pray for you. If you know that you need to just transition into the preciousness of God's thoughts. Thank you. I see the hand. Anybody else? You just need to transition into trust this morning. It's a greater level of trust. Maybe you need to bring your calling, because your calling right now is limited to men's thoughts about you. But you can't remember the last time you were jumping out of your skin because you realized how precious His thoughts are towards you. Not your mom or your dad's thoughts, not your teacher's thoughts, God's thoughts towards you. You don't know the last time His calling excited you. Oh, saints, He doesn't want us to live a life filled with boredom because we don't know the immensity of His thoughts towards us. Just raise your hand if you want to just come back to the immensity, the beauty of His thoughts. Thank you. Thank you, Father. I thank you for the hands raised. And Father, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will do for them what I cannot do for them. I pray that you will open the eyes and the ears of their understanding, Lord, to understand the height and the width and the length and the depth of your thoughts, of your love towards them. God, in Jesus' name, I pray for the hope of their calling to arise inside of them again, God, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you will stir a supernatural capacity, Lord, to rise above the opinions and the thoughts and the experiences, Lord, of life. They would want to come and lie and deceive God in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the preciousness of your thoughts, Lord. Thank you for the preciousness of your thoughts. Thank you, Lord, that when the enemy comes against us with these lies and he wants to flood us with deception, and God, that you raise up a standard against him. You raise up a standard against him, Lord God, of your thoughts. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for leading us into a deeper trust and a surrender. Thank you for leading us, oh God. Let us walk across that bridge. Let us raise our hands and let's worship him. Just there where you're standing. Just worship him. For his thoughts towards you. Worship him as your shelter. He's your safe place. Maybe just say that to Jesus. Because as he was kneeling over Jerusalem, so he's kneeling over Shofar. Over Shofar, summers of the west. And he's saying to some of us, yeah, I've been longing to gather you. 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 I say, Jesus, here I am. I'm coming. Please gather me. Thank you, God. For your thoughts, oh God, are higher than our thoughts. For your thoughts, oh God, higher than our thoughts. And we worship you. We worship you. We glorify you, Lord. Some of us need to bring our children to the Lord. Our fears for them. Surrender them into the shelter of the Most High. Are they the safest? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to worship God just with one last song. If you need prayer, I want to encourage you just to take somebody by the hand. Just pray with me. Just pray with me. I just want to bring my heart. I want to bring my calling. I want to bring my kids before the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Lord, I thank you that you cause strength to rise up inside of us, God. Hope to rise up inside of us, Lord, as we just give our lives to you again. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for the fellowship, Lord, we have with you. Thank you for a new day, Father, of entering, God, into just the knowledge that you are with us. That you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You've made us your people. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Lord, bless you. Let's praise God. We'll worship him one last time.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.